There's always resistance on the road to victory. You know, when you believe in God to increase you financially, financial trials come.
That's right.
I mean, every time, you know, God has dealt with me, you know, before, but we're talking about victory and how to get there. It's a process. Even in healing belongs to us. We're not supposed to be sick. We're not supposed to die young and early. We're supposed to be strong. Physically, spiritually, financially.
Good.
I mean, we're, you know, but I was thinking about how that we're made up of, we're triune beings. Our flesh didn't get born again.
That's right.
Once we give our heart to Jesus, we got born again inwardly.
That's right.
Our flesh didn't get saved. Our flesh our flesh was used to just doing whatever and thinking whatever and yielding whatever. But then we started on a road that got some resistance on it. But how many know it's even working out? You know, Travis, he made this statement, you know, one time, I'm believing God for six packs and muscles and all that. You know, believe in God. And you know what? He went right by that workout machine and never got on it. And you know what? I never did see no muscles get built. You can believe God all you want to, but you better get them barbells.
That's right.
You better work with what you believe in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
See, if you believe you're healed, then you don't sit around saying how sick you are.
Right.
That, you know, you got to resist how you feel. You got to resist it. And you will, in the natural, if you work out, treadmill, whatever, you'll build muscle.
Right.
I mean, you'll build. You'll get stronger. And, you know, and that's the way it is spiritually. If we work out, we'll get stronger. Hallelujah. You know?
Amen.
And build. And you know what? The stronger we get, the victory that we'll see.
Amen.
In our life, you know? And it talked about, you know, put that up there at Romans 5. That we got to this scripture. But I was thinking about how that we're triune beings. We're made up of three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit man, that's where you get born again. That's where you're a new creation. When you really yield and give your heart to Jesus, you allow him into your life, then you are a new creation. Whether you feel like you are or not, if you're really sincere, you are a new creation. You are born of the Spirit of God. But your nature has changed inwardly. But this outward man still wants to be the same.
That's right.
And begin to cause this natural man to line up with our inner man now. And we do that through knowledge of who we are. See, when I found out, and I used to, you know, E.T., back under E.T., that movie E.T., you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're aliens, you know, and I'd go, boop, boop, like E.T. I was being funny, you know. But I realized that I was an alien.
Right.
Come on, somebody, that's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Down here, we're, you know, our citizenship is in heaven. So I had to start renewing my mind to the Word of God. That, you know, that we're down here and God put us here to serve Him and walk with Him, win people to Jesus, to heal the sick. I mean, the Bible says that me and you have been... We're to finish the work that Jesus started. He said, great things did I do, but greater things that you'll do because I send to the Father. But you know, that takes some renewing of the mind. That takes renewing the mind and then putting some resistance on this flesh. You know, I was just a cusser. You know what I mean? It was just normal for me. It's just the way it was, the hangouts and people we hung out, you know. And once I got born again, you know, I started feeling conviction.
Yep.
When I'd cuss, I'd feel like, ha, man, you know. See, that was that work inward man bringing conviction to me.
Amen.
That was the Holy Spirit. That was my new man.
Yes.
You know, because I've been created in righteousness and true holiness by the Spirit of God. Yes. And so that wasn't like, and you know what? Before you know it, I'm like, man, I've got to change this. Lord, help me. See, we're not in this transformation by ourselves. We're in it and asking the Lord, help us, Lord, to be who you've called us to be, Lord. Help us to be transformed into what your Bible says we are, Lord. See, we're not just depending on our own self. We're drawing on the strength of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, and a lot of times, especially when I had the open heart surgery, you know, the challenges, physical challenges I was going through, and my mind would tell me, you're never going to be any good. You're never going to, you know, you're never going to be back to normal and do the things that you want to do. And I had a lot of people in my family. My dad died with a massive heart attack. I seen my dad, and my dad wasn't able to do anything my whole life that I knew of. He was on disability and had open heart surgery, died with a massive heart attack. So had a lot of evidence, you know, telling me that's the way it's going to be. But I wouldn't go by that outward evidence. I would say I go in the strength of the Lord God Almighty. Lord, I go in your strength, in your power, Lord. What I'm saying is the resistance, I had to resist what the natural was saying. And today, I am in great shape.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm absolutely, and I'm not saying that by faith. You know, I feel good. I look good. I mean, 54 feels pretty good. Somebody will come along and say, wait till you get 60. And then I have to come back and say, glory to God, I'm not them. I'm going to walk, and the Bible says that our outward man perishes, but it also says that the inward man is renewed day by day.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And so I've seen people that didn't know how to resist and didn't know how to fight the good fight. How many know what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:12? It says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold.
Right.
See, there's some laying hold. You know, and I've seen people and minister to them, you know, had one guy come in here, and he had just raised in a denomination that didn't believe in, you know, anointing oil and, you know, different things and confession. I mean, he knows that we're to hold fast to our confession, the Bible says. It's important what we confess. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:19, I believe it is, it says death and life is in the power of the tongue. And those that love it will eat the fruit of it. Well, the guy started here, and he had been in Texas, and storm had come and blown their house away over there, and they lost it all, and the government had moved them here to Buntsville. They moved right across the street over there. And so they had heard that somebody had got healed, whatever the case might be, and I went and got them to church. Well, now, they sat there, and I mean, it was hard for him to comprehend what I was preaching. He had never heard that kind of preaching before. Been in church all of his life. He said, but I couldn't deny it. He said, because every time you would say something, you would say the Bible scripture.
Right.
He said, and I'd write it down, and I'd go home, and he said, and I begin to realize this stuff's in the Bible.
Right.
I never knew. He said, I've even read the Bible, but God quickens that word.
Right. Yes, he does.
He quickens it. Amen. He quickens it. But you know, faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
And so God sent him here.
That's right.
Well, he's on about 8 or 10 different kinds of medicines, you know. And see, God wanted him to walk away from all that medicine.
Glory
to God. I mean, it was just God's will. I mean, I'll take some, but when I take them, I say, in the name of Jesus, not for long.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. That's called resisting that.
Right.
See, victory is a road of resistance.
That's right.
But victory comes. God never comes short. God never fails. His word don't fail. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said, Lord, your word is working in me mightily. See, that's why the enemy don't want us going to church. He don't want us reading the Bible. He don't want us listening to preaching. He wants us to lay around or go around in our trials just focused on all of them and not focused on the Word of God and the Kingdom of God, because the Kingdom works in us if we allow it.
Yes.
But you know, and so I was teaching down the lines of healing. I remember. You know, when I was teaching on healing is God's will for us, down those lines and bringing out the scripture, talking about the 17 documented cases in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the majority of the 17 documented cases, he said, your faith made you whole.
That's right.
He didn't say, I touched you and healed you. He said, your faith made you whole.
Amen.
Well, I mean, if you listen to what it says, your faith.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
Not Jesus is here with all his power. Not I quote scriptures all day long. No. He said, your faith has made you whole.
Amen.
And so we now, I was expounding on that a little bit. And I said, well, you know what you got to do. I said, don't go and throw your medicine away. That's foolish. You know, let the doctor tell you. Your body's changing. You got to come off of this and that. And I was ministering down them lines. I said, but every time you take your medicine, I didn't know he's on all that medicine. I don't know where the dude's at. I don't know where none of y'all at. Don't want to. Messes me up. I just soon know nothing and just hear from the Lord and come on preach. Come on, somebody.
That's right.
That way you know I don't know, and I don't know nothing. And God does it, and you know it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's best right. way. That's the best way.
Come That's on. Right.
But anyways, before you know it, well, started talking about prosperity. You know, God's word, you can't preach his word without seeing that it takes you forward, moves you forward, advances you, heals you, blesses you, right? It's prosperity.
Right.
Yes. Some people are against prosperity. They're against the Bible.
Yeah.
They don't understand the Bible. You know, but anyhow, I started preaching that. Before you know it, he goes home. He starts getting in him, starts working. He starts taking that medicine, and he starts telling his body, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Starts taking that medicine and saying, I'm coming off in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, when I go back to the doctor, Lord, the doctors are going to say that you don't need this anymore. Take him. And you know what, praise God? I mean, over a little bit of time, that dude wasn't taking but two medicines when he left here.
Amen.
Out of about 7 or 10, I don't remember, it was a bunch. What happened? He's got the same Jesus he had all the time.
That's right.
Nothing was changing in his life. He had just given in. This is just the way it is. I'm getting older. My body's older. I'm getting worn out. And people tell you that. And I'm telling you, man, people will tell you all kinds of stuff. And you can feel it.
That's right.
I mean, my body every day, I'm like, God, I'm 54. This is what 54 feels like. Now shut up.
Yeah.
I walk by faith, not by sight. Glory to God. And my body has to change. It changes. I know that sounds foolish, but by our faith, by our confidence in the Word.
Amen.
I go around saying I'm strong in the Lord. I never say how I feel. Sometimes I don't feel strong. Sometimes I don't feel close to the Lord. Feel. You understand what I'm saying? Feel. Well, I don't go and change the way I believe based on how I feel.
Right?
Right? You don't do that. Just don't do it. It's called resisting that.
Right.
And it is the road to victory. Praise God. Well, you know, I mean, I was preaching this prosperity thing about tithing and giving, and he didn't agree with it. That, you know, how many of you, your flesh don't want to agree with the word sometimes?
Amen. Right?
You know, because your flesh is self-preservation. It's like, nah, man, God knows. All my bills are due, and he understands, and blah, blah, blah. Your flesh will tell you all that. But the Lord says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Rest not. Just listen to that word. I mean, the word. It says, give, and it shall be given. Good measure. Rest down. Shaking together. Running over.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm preaching that, and so he decided, I'm going to give an offering. So he started giving offering. He had never had nothing happen to him supernatural that he could ever recollect. He come out on his porch one time, and there was groceries all over his porch. Somebody bought a bunch of groceries, he don't know who, or nothing, and filled his front porch. Didn't happen once, happened 3 or 4 times in a row. He caught me coming in church. He said, buddy, that stuff does work, don't it? And I said, it does for those that believe.
Right.
He said, well, ain't this stuff been happening? I've been a Christian for a long time. I said, you ain't been believing.
That's right.
I said, faith comes by hearing. I said, see, somewhere you believe that God is just sovereign and God can just do anything he wants to anytime. I said, but what the scripture says is God is bound to his word. He's bound himself to the word.
That's right.
So wherever we release the word in our life, that's why the Bible says in James, it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves.
That's right.
Right. See, James doesn't know what he's saying. Don't just hear it and not do it.
Right.
See, and don't look at that negative. You know, I used to look at everything the Bible told me to do was negative because I was coming short in everything.
Yeah.
But you can't look at it negative. The word is not to destroy us or to take away from us. If it says love your enemies, it's not to destroy you. It's to bring you high above your enemies.
Yes. Yes.
It brings us above our enemies. The Bible says that God will put us on a highway that the evil can't cross on.
Amen.
That the evil's not able to... Did you know that he said that he will not leave us in the hands of our enemies?
That's right.
He's already delivered us. But you know, I was thinking about it. I was thinking how that we're made up of triune beings. Spirit, soul, and body. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Your body is your flesh man. See, I used to think, because people say, Lord, save their soul, save their soul, save their soul. You know, but all through the Bible, if you look up the word soul, the soul means mind, will, and emotions, and it's not going to heaven. Your brain ain't going. Right?
Right.
I mean, when we die, our brain don't leave.
Right.
Our brain turns into dust, or whatever it turns into. Right?
Right.
Soul is mind, will, and emotion. We're made up of that. But we're to be governed by our spirit.
Amen.
Our spirit man. And he feeds on the word of God. And he feeds on faith music.
Yes.
That's how come I don't listen to secular music. I don't doubt anybody that does. So don't take it the wrong way. If you want to listen to, you know, secular music, that's none of my business. That's nothing to me. But for me, no, it don't feed me. It just can't feed me. It causes me to want to go back to the pot smoking days and the cocaine days and thinking that was the good old days. That wasn't the good old days. I was lost without God. I was spending thousands of dollars on drugs. You know, I mean, I wasn't treating my family right. I wasn't treating my wife right. And those were not the good old days. The good old days is now.
Amen.
Victory, oh, victory is mine. I like singing that song. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. It's yours.
That's right.
No, those ain't the good old days. You know, I just don't listen to secular music. I don't identify with it anymore.
Amen.
It can't feed my spirit, man.
That's right.
And I'm not interested in anything that makes me feel bad.
Amen.
I mean, I turn that on, and before you know it, I don't feel good on the inside. I don't like that, Mac. I like to feel good.
Amen.
The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
So I need that joy. I need that peace of God when jobs don't work out. And it's often jobs don't work out. It's often things don't work out in my life, praise God. You know, but I have the joy of the Lord. I have the peace of God. And you know how? It's not just because I got saved. It's because I choose to go down a road of resisting the devil, resisting things all the time, resisting and saying, nope, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want.
Amen.
He leads me beside the still green pastures, leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Goes on, and he says, he prepares a table before in the presence of my enemies.
That's right.
That's good news to me. You know, that devil, see, you got to resist that. Well, the devil's just messing with me and my family. And, well, quit whining. Quit whining. Get up. Take the sword of the Spirit. Take the sword, which is the word of God.
Right.
Stop crying over him doing what he ain't even doing. Well, the devil's messing with my mind. Well, shut him out.
Amen.
Tell him to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
See, this don't sound very churchy. Well, it ain't supposed to be.
Come on. Right.
It's supposed to be we come in here, we're warriors for God.
Yes.
We're in the army of God, hallelujah. And we're going forward, not in church, out yonder, hallelujah. We're going to go forward in the name of Jesus. We're going to get our homes paid off. We're going to get our homes. We're going to get our cars. We're going to get our raises. Our finances are coming. The wealth of the wicked or the sinners laid up for the righteous. We're going to be in a place where the transfer can come to us because we're about the Father's business.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, my marriage didn't get straightened out by itself. I started applying God's word. God, you said, love my wife as Christ so loved the church, Lord. Help me to do that, Lord. Help me to love my wife. Help me to know how it is to love my wife. See, look, we got to depend on the Lord to help us, to strengthen us in these things, to do the will of God. I know what the will of God is. Love my wife as Christ loved the church. I know what the will of God is for women. Women, submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord.
That's right.
I know what it is for children. Children, obey your parents. Don't gripe about them. Don't grumble. These kids are quiet.
Especially the front row.
They're getting quiet on me. Hallelujah. But all these things bring victory. They bring victory to the kids when they're taught to submit to authority. You know, I mean, little Aiden and Aubrey, I mean, they come to the house and they just feel free and everything. Little Aiden, I'm going to tell you this. Now, he likes milk. That boy really likes milk. He's like his daddy. His daddy would drink. He would never eat nothing when he was a kid, truthfully. Well, he's in there sitting. We bring her a little table in there. We don't let him eat all over the couch and get stuff all over our house. And, you know, we just don't do it. Don't go to the refrigerator and all that. They don't feel free just to go get the refrigerator. He'll say, Grandma, can I get my milk? I told him one time, I went in there and I said, Tracy, could you get him some milk? I said, sure, I'll get him some milk. Now go in there. Now I said, you want some milk?
Yeah.
I said, okay. So I break out my buttermilk back. I poured that boy some buttermilk, man. I'm going to give him some real milk here. Oh, boy, he goes. He didn't drink that. But anyhow, I poured him some milk. He's sitting there. Teresa comes through there, and she said, now, Aiden, just get you a little sip now, because you won't eat no supper. He gets him a little sip, sets it down. He looked over at Grandma. Grandma goes out on the back porch. As soon as that door shut, he grabs that milk up. Boy, I mean, he's going to town on that milk. Hey, I'm sitting over there and I'm watching him. And I said, Aiden, I said, you better put that milk down. Grandma's coming back. Here she comes. He's looking, boy, and he didn't see her coming. Boy, he's getting it before Grandma gets in there. He's on that milk, you know. And then all of a sudden, I said, here she comes. The back door opened up and he went... He's three. Well, you know what? That's why God, he says, love your enemies. He wants us to obey him. And you know what? When he's having an attitude and he gets some correction and all that, he feels better. These kids feel better when they're brought into subjection to the authority that's been put over them. Spiritually. Now I'm talking about a spirit realm here. Now they might say, I never get to do nothing. Daddy, mama, nah. They might say that, but they actually feel better because I feel better when I'm obeying God.
Amen.
I feel better when I'm in obedience to the Lord. I mean, it absolutely makes me feel good when I know that I'm obedient to the Lord. That I know that the Lord is satisfied. That I know that he's pleased. Heaven knows, when we're in faith, believing God in these areas, the Bible says that we please God.
Amen.
Hebrews said, for without faith it's impossible to please God. So that tells us that it pleases God when me and you are in faith.
That's right.
When we're walking in faith, we're pleasing to the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I'm not perfect, brother Scott. There ain't none of us perfect.
Yeah.
Stop trying to be perfect. Just be real.
That's it.
Just be real with the Lord. You know, and just you know, don't try to be perfect. You'll get religious. You'll start putting on fronts. where people are like you and all. Not just be real, you know, because God will walk you through. Guy come to me one time, and he's going to a church, and he had come out off of the streets and everything, and, you know, and he had smoked marijuana as long as I knew him. And they had been on drugs and heroin and all kinds of stuff that came off, but still smoked pot. And he come to me, you know, and he said, "Well, Brother Scotty," he said, "my church, you know, I mean, he's just telling them, he don't think nothing about it, man. I'm still doing this, you know, and he's not really thinking anything about it." Well, you got a lot of folks, they've been in the Lord a long time, you know, and they're having a problem with it. And so they're telling him, you know, and they gonna make him quit church, he's thinking all that. And so he says, "Well, I'm just gonna quit church. I'm gonna quit." I said, "Well, do you feel like the Lord has sent you there?" "Yeah, but I like the church and I like the blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Well, look, man." I said, "Don't worry about those folks." I said, "You keep going to church. Don't quit church. Don't quit where God's got you." I said, "Just don't worry about those folks." I said, "Maybe they've never had to struggle with marijuana. Maybe they've never had to struggle with a drug. And they don't understand the struggle." I said, "But you know, in their life somewhere, they're struggling. They might eat too much bread. God might ask them not to eat no more pasta. And all they do is want pasta. God asked me to fast in the lab, and I'm hungry all the time. Just the thought of God wanting me to fast, I get hungry. I've actually got up and, you know, and said, "Lord, I'm going to fast today in the name of Jesus." Went right to the store, and I mean, eat a hot dog for breakfast. That sucker looks so good. You don't eat hot dogs for breakfast. But boy, that hot dog, I mean, an hour and a half into the fast. You know, so I told that guy, I said, "Listen, don't get mad at him. Don't get upset. God sent you there. Don't let him get you offended. Don't let him cause you to move out of the will of God." I said, you just keep your eyes on the Lord. Go to church." You know, that guy come on off of that marijuana and went on pastor to church later.
Amen.
Now, what if I'd have just helped him get on out of the church and just forget all that religious stuff? But see, I've done been in it long enough, and praise God, you know, to know I'm not looking at people. I'm not looking for them to say if I'm okay or not, praise God. I'm looking to the Lord, and I'm asking the Lord to help me, and I'm going to change if the Lord helps me to do it. And I'm going to let everybody else. See, God didn't tell me to go catch fish and clean them. Catch me and clean them.
Amen.
He don't tell us to do it. We shouldn't be doing it as the body of Christ. We ought to be having mercy. See, that's even another road of resistance that'll help you grow. I call it mind your own business. That's not a good biblical term. But I could get on down there and say, don't be a busybody.
That's it.
The Bible says it. Don't be a busybody. Up in everybody's business all the time, busybody. You know, we can't be busybody. You know, Monty, he's short. He's the shortest one in this church. But boy, he sure can zip that guitar. I mean, he would have amps and ever. He's tried it for 8 years. I mean, he would have your hair blowing back if I didn't control him, wouldn't you, Monty? He come back to purpose, and I mean, it's all a dude can do to drag that thing. And I'm like, good Lord, he can't even tote that thing. And he come through there, and I said, "You finally done it after 8 years, did you? You get an amp up there. Just for practice." I said, "You're relentless, ain't you?" He's relentless on that. I mean, you carry this dude to the guitar store, he would drive me up the wall. I mean, he goes to the guitar store and stays for hours. You got to try every guitar in the place. I mean, the dude's a very good guitar player, and now he's going to online school or something to learn more. Man. I'm like, just use what you got, sweetheart. Well, see, that's his anointing.
Amen.
He can't help himself. He's got an anointing to increase. Amen. See, every time God puts his purpose and plan in me and you, whether it's healing or we have a draw to increase.
That's right.
I mean, he wants us to go forward and increase. And that's all right, let's read that. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Glory to God. We boast in it.
That's right.
Something hard hits our house, we stand up and say, glory to God. Yeah, we're in hot water right now, but God.
That's right.
We boast in tribulation. Yeah, I might be sick in my body a little bit still, but glory to God, I'm healed.
Amen.
I'm healed. God told me one time, I was confessing that I was healed, believing that I was healed. He said, your nose is running. I said, what's that got to do with what I said? Well, that's kind of a lie, ain't it, brother? I said, that ain't, well, the Bible says it. I said, if the Bible says it, we can say it. I said, it's true. I said, this right here is a fact. That my nose is still running. I said, but the truth is, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed.
Yeah.
I said, but God, I'm not going to let what I feel and what I see determine what I can have or not.
That's right.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You hear testimony? Hey, the Lord's raising all of you up. You're going to start hearing more testimonies this year than you ever have. I figured somebody to jump up and tell us all about it, but they're not quite ready yet. I'm excited about it. When I see God taking somebody from one level of faith to another level of faith, and one from one glory to another, that excites me.
Amen.
That excites me. Somebody told me here a while back, they said, well, you know, the United States is just not going to be any good. They're Christians. This administration and blah, blah, blah. And I looked at them and I said, you're still listening to the news, ain't you? You're still going in listening to the news. That's your problem right now. I said, I find in the Bible that Jesus is Lord over all of that. I find in the Bible where it says victory's mine, that he always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus, not based on a government or a sheriff or a preacher or a church. I said, you're still listening to the news. I said, no. I said, I ain't listening to the news. I'm expecting Jehovah Jireh, my provider, to show up. I'm expecting God to do his thing.
Okay.
He's always done his thing, and I'm expecting him to do his thing now. My trust ain't in the government. My trust is not in my garage doors, my job. My trust ain't in people. My trust is ultimately in Jesus and the supply of the kingdom of God. And he will come through. He always comes through for those that trust the Lord.
Come on.
Amen.
He said, we glory in tribulation. Now, that is a profound statement. This is a dude right here that was beat, whipped, left for dead, put in prison. I mean, mocked at. I mean, persecuted to the max. Even the Holy Ghost shows up in the book of Acts and tells him, everywhere you go, you're going to be in prison. You're going to be in locks. You're going to be in stocks and binds and persecuted. He was shipwrecked, stoned, left for dead, drug outside the city. And he said, we boast in it.
That's right.
Knowing that tribulation works patience. And patience is not a sit back thing. This word patience means endurance.
That's right.
It works endurance. You know, faith and patience have to work together. You can have faith, but if you don't have endurance, you'll not see the promise most of the time.
Right.
You got to have some endurance.
That's right.
My brother told me one time, I was telling him, he said, don't ever pray for patience. He going to hear this, and I don't really care good. Don't ever pray for patience, because when you do, all hell's going to break loose in your life. He said, I prayed for patience. He said, I'm going down the road. Him and his wife got into it, and he got so mad that he kicked the dash, slapped him out of the car. And then he says, well, you know, God said he won't put any more on you than you can bear. I said, no, that's not what it says. You know what he done? Lost his temper.
That's right.
It wasn't that he asked God for patience and God had to kick his dash in. God is the God of patience, and we have his nature. He can endure, man. He's been enduring from the beginning of time.
That's right.
I mean, he's long patience, waiting. He's been waiting on us a long time. Now, patience is an attribute of God. It's a character. It comes on the inside of us. But we've got to work it out.
That's right.
We've got to let it work out into our life. It's endurance. It's being able to endure some hardship and staying in a given place. That's
yes.
what patience is. Being able to endure hardship and not getting in the wrong spirit. Not cussing nobody out anymore. Not getting sad and going and just covering our head up. Because what's the use, you know? Sometimes demonic spirits come and they're out here.
That's right.
See, the Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, people, but against what? Principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. They're all around.
Yes.
Spiritual wickedness in high places. There's different rankings of principalities. Those are different ranking principalities.
That's right.
Principalities, the ones in high authority. Powers, the ones under them. Different ranking, different, I mean, you know, they're sent out by Satan.
That's right.
Demons. I believe there's demons that is just strictly put down here and they say, go mess up marriages.
Yes.
I believe there's demons that operate in witchcraft. Go tempt them with drugs. Go entice them with it. Go paint them a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's an old saying that says the grass is no greener on the other side of whatever. You know, it looks greener. It looks, you know, when you're going through marital problems, I mean, and the pressure of it, sure. I mean, I've had thoughts. Boy, if Teresa, if she ever divorces me, I'll never have another woman. Why? Because the pressure wouldn't be there, right? Ain't but one reason I'd say that, because I love her. I know when I was going through, God put me in business back years and years ago in 1990 something. And there's been times when I know that I'm in the will of God in that. See, I believe you need to find out what the will of God is for your life.
Right.
Know what the will of God is. Find it. Fast. Seek the Lord. If there's areas you don't know what the will of God is, get in that Bible, find it. Find scriptures in the Bible concerning what you're wondering about and let the Lord minister to you.
Right.
But there's times, even in the will of God, pressures will come to get you out.
Mm-hmm.
If you think for 1 minute, Satan, if you're supposed to be in this church, that Satan's just going to let you be in la-la land and never tempt you to leave this church, you're done deceived. I mean, he gets us ready and makes us pillars, and then when these people in church comes, we're not babies. Oh, you're still sucking spiritual pacifiers.
Uh-huh.
They got my seat. I've been sitting there for 5 years, brother Scotty. They got my seat. I'm going to have to tell you, go home, change your diaper. Go home, get you a bigger pacifier. These seats belong to us. They belong to the Lord, right? And the Bible says for us to move back and let them have the front.
Yes, that's right.
Prefer others before yourself. Let me give you scripture.
That's right.
Prefer others before ourselves. Put them first. Hallelujah. This road of resistance that we resist evil, resist the devil, brings us higher and higher and higher. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And the Bible says that our gifts will make room for us. And it'll take us before great men.
Yes.
Right.
You know, I had the Lord had me going to these pastors' things once a month. And I didn't agree with a lot of things they did about Easter and Christmas. And, you know, there's just some things I won't tolerate. You know, Halloween, and I don't partake in that. And Santa Claus, and I don't partake in that. And I don't believe we need to have hot dog feast out here to get people to Jesus. And I'm not again out of that if that's what the Lord's leading you to do. You know, but I feel like the anointing and the word of God and the drawing of God and the Holy Spirit and, you know, and all of that, I believe that's why the only thing going to get people saved.
Yeah, come on.
And so I'm going, you know, and I go to fast, and a lot of it's getting on my nerves in the meetings, D. I mean, it's just, you know, they just do any old way, and they're huge churches. Pretty big, you know. And I feel small anyhow, you know what I'm saying? Stuff can be intimidating if you let it. You can get the wrong spirit. But I'm asking the Lord, Lord, why? Why have you got me going to these, God? I don't agree with a lot of things they're doing, but I'm not going to judge them, Lord. I just ain't going to do it. Well, I got up one day and I went to one, and he said, well, you know, you gotta make sure, you know, he said, if you don't take up tithes, you call one Sunday service off. He said, they won't tithe the next week. They won't hang on to it. You know? He said, so you got to make sure, you know. And so I left there, you know, and I thought, I'll not eat that seed, bless God. Brought up the scripture, know the state of your flock, you know, like I ought to know all y'all's financial stuff. I don't care. I mean, I do, but I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get caught up in all that. But anyways, you know, I come to church that Sunday, but God, I thought, I'm not going to eat that seed, praise God. I said, we're not taking up tithes and offerings this week at all. Y'all hang on to it. I thought, devil, you want to tempt me with that garbage? Like I could care less about finances? That's not my problem. Whether they tithe or whether they don't. And you sure ain't going to get me under pressure about making sure that we get the tithe on Sunday. What are we going to do? Close? See, what I'm saying here is this stuff's going to happen to you. Might not be on that level, but you know what, praise God? I mean, it's going to come to you. Things are going to come to try to get you under pressure not to obey the Lord, to get in fear and unbelief and doubt, and then you're going to be oppressed and all of that, praise God. And so I'm asking the Lord, Lord, why have you got me going to these? And you know what? I'd go open the doors for them. Man, I'd go open the doors, and you know what I realized? I realized that I was honoring people in authority, whether I agreed with some of the things that would never bring those things to this church, you know. And I realized, but the Lord told me, he said, I'm showing you things when you do get up on the bigger level.
Wow.
See, I didn't realize I was in training. See, you're in training right now.
Amen.
When God's telling you to bring correction to your kids or grandkids, you're in training. You're training them, but you're in training. Hallelujah. It's causing you to grow. You know, I felt at one time, you know, concerning my kid, Travis, you know, he's about 4 or 5 years old, and I was listening to this preacher on TV, and he was talking about the children are an inheritance from the Lord, you know, they're blessings. You know, and I'm listening to him, and he said, fathers, he said, you need to anoint your kids and lay your hands on them, you know, and you need to release the blessing in their life. You don't need to talk down on them and tell them how bad they are all the time and all of that stuff, you know. And I realized, so I told the Lord, I realized that Travis is not mine, really. I realized that he belongs to you. That you've let me and Teresa have him to train him up in the things of God.
Yes.
And Lord, we can enjoy him, and, you know, we can enjoy him being a kid. I mean, those your kids, they're only one time.
That's right.
And two. You can't get all that back. You can't get it back.
That's right.
Once one passes 3, 5, 10, I mean, you can't just live in the moment because you want to kill them. No. See, we got to live in the future somewhat. You know, seeing what they're going to be in the Lord while they're 5 and 6 and 7. You know, knowing that later on they're going to do things for Jesus. I asked Aiden, he's 3. I said, where are we going? We're going to church. Now, he didn't know that. He thought we'd go into the 3D of the pumpkin patch. the first Wednesday night after the pumpkin patch. Took him up early and killed the gun. So every time me and Grandma gets him in the car at that moment, he thinks we're going to the pumpkin patch. So I'm buckling him up and he said, "Papa, we're going to the pumpkin patch." I said, "No, we're not going to the..." "Yes, we're going to the pumpkin patch." I said, "No, we're going to church." "No, we're going to the pumpkin patch." He said, "Oh, the pumpkin patch." But then now, you know what? He likes coming to church.
Amen.
"Where we're going, son?" "We're going, baby. We're going to church, Papa." He asked Teresa tonight. He said, "Grandma, do you like going to church?" "Yep, I like going to church." He said, "Grandma, does Papa like going to church?" And I said, "Yes, I like going to church." You know, that seems like a little thing, but look how he's being his mind. Already to the house of God on Wednesday. That's a normal thing. God's going to be normal. The anointing's going to be normal. He's going to have a normal. And then when he gets out around these druggies, I done heard, you know, one up at church up there, when he got out, it's just the pastor's son now. I mean, he had long hair, nothing long hair, but he had all that going on, you know, and he's a teenager and he felt big, you know. Well, he got in touch with Jesus, and then he starts hanging around all of them, and he didn't lock it in his heart the way that they were doing. Right. And so he goes back and he tells his dad, he says, "Dad," he said, "I don't want to be like them." He said, "I'm not judging them." He said, "But they're not really serving the Lord." He said, Go take me to get a haircut, Dad. I want to be different, Dad." And you know what? Today, I believe he's one of the ones that is really, really anointed on a piano. I mean, a keyboard. They minister. These boys minister.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he told me one time, because I didn't let Travis in church. And, you know, I mean, I didn't let him play with other kids and things in church. I mean, I drove 40 minutes of my life, you know, had been in a wreck, and God's got me on this road, and I'm feeling good, and I'm going to work, and I'm starting to feel good, you know, and I would go to church, and he wants to cut up, and then I get aggravated in church and all that, you know, and get mad, you know, can't be quiet. And so I got him up one time, and I took him outside, and I set him on fire outside. I gave him a good, good light up. I think that's about the only time I ever whooped him. Maybe. No, he bit me on the belly one time, and I lit him up. He didn't ever bite me again. I already pulled my hair, and I about jerked her sideburns out. She ain't pulled my hair again. I thought they ain't one way to teach them. Show them the pain that they give you. And so he couldn't breathe, and I waited till he got his breath real good. And I said, "When I carry you back in there, you better sit down and be quiet." And I waited until he got done, and I took him in and sat him down there. Didn't have no more trouble out of him for a long time, because he did. Now, I wasn't trying to be mean. It really hurt me. I really didn't want to do that, but I knew that I had to do it for my spiritual life and Teresa's spiritual life and his spiritual life, because church wasn't just a go-sit-down social club to me. Me and Teresa's been to the bars and the dancing and all the social clubs and all that, get into it and all that, and now we're on a different road now. We're not wasting our time going to church. If I'm going to waste my time, I'll stay home, buy me some pot and marijuana and cocaine, and I'll just, but you know, I'm on a different road.
Amen.
But all that paid off spiritually for us.
Yes.
You know, I had to resist letting him do that. I don't know why I'm on this.
Come on.
Praise God.
It wasn't really in it. But you know what it does? It works patience. Go on, give me the rest of that. Patience experience calls you to experience God. Endurance will cause you to experience God.
Amen.
And experience hope. I mean, you know, I've had people to come in. I've been in business a long time. And I think I've had one or two people maybe that you know, was on a good path. I've even paid drug dealers off the floor to keep them from killing the people that I hired. Believe it or not, I mean, it happened. Come in, boss of them to get killed. I'm like, "What? What do you mean you're going to get killed?" He said, "Well, I mean, I had some drugs fronted to me two or three times and can't pay them. They don't sit word." And I'm like, "What? Well, go pay them. Well, I ain't got that kind of money. And so I said, okay, which one is it? And so I go to the drug dealer. And I said, how much do you owe you? He works for me and I need him to put garage doors in. Well, you know, I mean, these people selling drugs, they're serious. The real ones are serious. They're not, you know, you don't mess with them. And so I paid them. But what I'm saying here, see, I experienced good. I'm like, oh, God, these people, God, ain't no way they're going to get straightened out. Good God Almighty, Lord, they're so messed up. I mean, one person I was trying to help, the more I tried to help this person, I wasn't supposed to help this person, the more I tried to help this person, the more I got in the spider web they lived in.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, it was every time trouble. But you know what? Experiencing God, the people that he said, you know, I was able to help them, and then I experienced him, and then it gave me hope for anybody.
That's
right. I thought, man, if he can do it for them people, ain't nobody he can't help out.
That's right.
Ain't nobody he can't straighten out if they get their trust in him. If they can just get their trust in the Lord, you know, and that give me hope that nobody that I run into was too far that God could touch their lives.
Amen.
And bring them out, praise God.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
And you know what? I want to encourage you. Don't just get so caught up in your troubles and all of that you're not letting your light shine.
Amen.
See, learn to cast all your cares over on the Lord and learn to wait on him.
Yes.
And say, Lord, I'm just going to wait, God. I'm going to wait on you, Lord. And I know you're going to make things happen, praise God. Because you know what? When you're resisting all of this stuff and waiting on the Lord, it'll cause you to experience God.
Yes.
So I want to encourage you, praise God. Don't give up on your healing. Don't give up on your body, although it's getting older. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Lady, come here and I'm going to close with this. Come here, sit about where April is. They done diagnosed her with cancer. And they give her 3 or 4 or 5 weeks to live. And she comes to the service that night. And Spirit of God, I'm standing up here. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, tell her. He said, prophet, I'll tell her what to do. And so I told her, you won't have to fight. Don't die. Fight the good fight. By Jesus Christ, you're healed. You're healed. Goes right out of here the next day and goes and picks out the coffin. Gets the plot ready. Picks out the clothes. I mean, that's not faith.
Nope.
That's not resisting. That's not. And that woman went on and died. And I thought, Lord, you sent her in the last service. You sent her to get hold of the word of God. How many know that healing, cancer is no match for the healing power of God.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, I've heard of testimonies where there's no cure for AIDS and people got healed of AIDS.
That's right.
I mean, they just lady listening to the gospel in Oneonta over there at the old Bluebell building, listening to me on the street preaching on healing different things, and went and told her grandkids she'd been bedridden for years and couldn't walk or anything, and told them, said, I want y'all to come and take me down there to that street down there. I'm going to get healed. God's going to heal me down there. You know, she could have laid there, I'm sure, her body in pain or whatever the case might be, but she wasn't willing to give up. She's wanting her healing. She's ready to fight for it, bless God. And they toted her to a van, put her on a bed, a little cot in there, had that thing tied down, and pulled up at 1 minute till 7, praise God, and tell you, and said, this lady wants you to come and pray for her. And I thought, no, man, it's nearly 7 o'clock. So I hurried over there. And I just laid hands on her, and I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. Because I'm starting at 7, so I'm in a hurry. Well, I turned around, started back in that van. That woman came out of that van and outrun me to the pulpit and grabbed the microphone.
Amen.
And you can believe it or not, but God, it happened. And I thought, hey, preaching, this is my service. And she began to testify of how she's hearing the gospel. See how important it is to go to church?
That's right.
She couldn't go to church, but God carried me to the streets and carried her. I mean, it's about 5 blocks where that woman lived, and she was hearing the gospel. 5 blocks. I believe the wind blew in that direction every time I preached.
That's right.
And carried it just like it did with
Jesus. Hallelujah.
But you know what? She could have sat down there You know, and it's real easy for me and you to say, well, that was her. God won't do it for me. Why won't he do it for you? He's no respecter.
That's right.
Tell the devil, you lying idiot. Just because I'm living in my trial, you're trying to convince me you won't do that for me? I'm next, Lord.
Amen.
I told somebody the other day, I loaned them a little bit of money. And they was telling me, well, thank you, man. I mean, for, you know, and it just dawned on me. And I'm telling you this for a reason. I've served the Lord a few years, and I've read that Bible and somewhat, God, how all the patriarchs that followed God increased more and more. They increased in riches and all that, praise God. They left their country, didn't even know where that's going, and God led them into prosperity.
Amen.
The Bible says, Deuteronomy 8:18, it's He, God, that gives you the power to obtain wealth, that He might establish His covenant with you. It ain't your job.
Nope.
It ain't our wisdom. It's Him.
Amen.
But you know, I told that person, I said, it just dawned on me where I'm at. I said, you know what? I said, the Bible told me, and now I'm here, that I'll lend and not borrow.
Amen.
But God, I'm here. And I told Teresa, I said, hey, we're here to a small level. We ain't caught where we're going.
That's right.
But the Bible, you know what? I could take you back down there to where that was a pipe dream. That was a pipe dream, man. Just give me a good job, Lord, where I make more money and pay my bills, where I don't have to struggle with my bills. I went from that level, by God, to where I didn't struggle for bills, went to another level where you used to have to carry calculators in to make sure we could add the taxes to it and have enough for groceries. Never carry one in there, ever.
Amen.
But I spoke to it in the store. I spoke to that calculator, and I said, not many days from hence, she'll never need a calculator to make sure. And she won't have to wonder if she can get all she wants.
That's right.
So she just goes through there and comes home and just spends whatever.
Yes.
We won't run out of toilet paper, Doug. There's some things she just adds up. I mean, she just stocks up on, man. I mean, she gets plenty of underarm deodorant. I mean, she has this thing with toilet paper. And it ain't because she's afraid she can't get none. When all of that happened, you couldn't find toilet paper. We was had plenty. It did it started before then. Then everybody tried to buy the Germat, and some of them said, well, Tracy's a little fanatical. No, she's been doing that for years. She don't like those boogery hands. You dig your nose coming in church and then shake hands. So she Germats. Come on, somebody. You think it just don't count that? No, man, germs float around everywhere. But I keep the shield of faith, and she tried to make me drink it. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Did you get anything tonight? I know you did. Let's give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Does anybody need prayer tonight before we just leave?
Well, like a young member, Ben Joe, in prayer.